just lays on our hearts to do something, you gotta do it.
Yes.
I'd like you to ask you to open to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're gonna camp right there, so you can lay that Bible on your lap there, because we'll be referring to it, this one verse here. I know those who believe a little bit of Christ is preached in many, 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 many languages of churches. For example, they believe that the true gospel is preached in the church, the Methodist church, mixed in with a little bit of that. I asked them one time, I said, why do you go to these other churches? Why do you go to these other churches and join in with them in song if you don't believe what they're preaching? And this person told me, because you never know. There's just a little bit of truth being taught there, and you never know how it's going to flourish. Are you with me in Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse? Look at verses 4 through 6, will you? There is one body, and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the oneness of true believers. There are seven things which stand out boldly on this subject, the oneness of believers. It says there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Men have endeavored for centuries to bring religious people together. That's what Catholicism is. It's supposed to be a united Christian fellowship. For centuries, they've been trying to bring religious people together. But there have been a number of movements to get denominations, to get churches, to get professed Christians together under one umbrella or one group to head in that direction. Look how many churches in today's world are called non-denominational. That's a movement trying to bring Christians together for one cause. And they've done a pretty good job of it if you look at all the big churches there are out there. Joel Osteen, multi-billionaire for preaching what he calls the gospel. I've never actually heard him preach the gospel. He talks a lot about how you can build yourself up and become a better person. But all that is about self-help and self-promotion. People like that stuff. They like thinking, I did that one time. I was in Amway. And that's what the Amway was. Amway, they grew so big because they were a pyramid type of scheme. But it was all about getting the people to come into these meetings, pumping them up. You can go out and save the world. Go out and do it. And I fell for all that stuff. And I went out and I bought a Cadillac. I was only making minimum wage. And I bought a Cadillac. Thinking, I'm going to do it. Yeah. Yeah, I had to give the Cadillac back. Actually, it was an older Cadillac, so I ended up just selling it pretty quickly, not too long afterwards. Point is, if we're reading this scripture correctly, they're not going to come together. This is the things they'll say in efforts to bring religious people together. They'll say, we all believe in one God. We all believe in life after death. We are all going to the same place. So why should there be any divisions among us? Let us unite together and win the world for Christianity. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, it'll never happen. Despite all the efforts of all the people and the organizations from all the generations and ages to come and ages behind to get religious people together, unification cannot and will not be done. And here's the chief reasons why. Religious people will never come together as one because they are not one. They are divided over the essentials of faith. The very things that we just read just a moment ago, these are the things that divide the people. The essentials of faith are this: there is one body, there is one spirit, there is one hope, there is one Lord, there is one faith, one baptism, and one God. This is where they are all divided, and they will never be one. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the definition of true faith and eternal life when he said, "This is the life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." These people who know the truth, these people who know the true and living God, these people that we just read about, who know Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, they are one and they are not divided. Now, I'm not talking about religious people. I'm not talking about professing Christians. I'm not talking about churches and denominations. I'm saying that every true believer, every converted, redeemed person in Christ are one. We're one in Christ.
Yes.
In John chapter 17, our Lord is praying his high priestly prayer. The Master is saying, "Father," in verse 20, he says, "Neither I pray for these alone," speaking of his disciples, "but I pray for them which shall believe on me through their word," through the word of the disciples, "that they might be one," "one as thou, Father, art in me." That's our Lord speaking. "That they might be one as thou art in me." That's a pretty special oneness, isn't it? To be one with the Father. These who believe the word, who believe on Christ through the preaching of the word, are one. "They may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, I in them, and thou in me, that they be perfect and one." Folks, we who believe the Lord Jesus Christ are one exactly as the Father and the Son are one, and we can never be separated. That's what the Lord is telling us. We've always been one, even before we knew it. We have always been one in Christ before the world began. That's what it means to be loved by God before the foundation of the world. We have always been in Christ. You know that they speak about the breastplate and the names of the breastplate. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has a book with every believer's name written in it. And that book was written before the world ever was. We were all one in Christ in that book before the world was even created.
Yes.
We are one because we are one in Christ. And Christ is not divided, is he? He's one with God the Father, is he not?
Yes.
Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, he says, "We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in Christ, as he has predestinated us to be like Christ, and we are accepted in Christ, the Beloved, in whom we have redemption in Christ, The forgiveness of sins and the fullness of time that God would gather together all things in Christ. Simple as that. Is Christ divided?
No.
Could you imagine such a thing? Christ cannot be divided. The Godhead divided would be foolishness. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are three, are one. If the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and Christ dwells in you, and Christ says, I and my Father will take up an abode in you, then He is in me. How can we be divided? How can we be headed in two different directions and believe two different things? Believers are one, and true believers are one because of Christ is one. Listen to what it says in 1 John 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. The one who truly loves is born of God and knows God. We are brought to know God by Himself, are we not? Well, if we're brought to know God, then we know the true and living God. Then we all believe in the same God. We are one in believing in who the same God is, right? That's why I asked the question, how can you go over to the Catholics and sing and praise and worship with them? They don't believe in the true and living God. How can you go and pray with the Jehovah's Witnesses? They don't believe in the true and living God. They believe in themselves. God is this to them. Now you have to do this. And that's not the God of Scriptures. The God of Scriptures is the one who has done it all. And we believe in this God. Because He has brought us to us. He's not going to divide us with other stuff. There's only one true and living God. Jesus Christ the Lord. Those who are born of God, we love the truth. Those who are born of God love one another, and there is no question about it. Let us love one another, for love is of God. It is a gift of God. It is the gift of God and the grace of God, and it is shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit. In our text, Ephesians 4, it says Paul, in our text in Ephesians 4, Paul gives us seven reasons why all true believers are one. First, he says there is one body. What is this body? Is it this one?
No.
No. No. What is this one body? This one body is the church. Now, there are a lot of places that call themselves churches. Local churches. We're not talking about local churches. We're talking about the church of God. Now, first off, you have to understand what the word church stands for, what it means. It means the called out. What our Lord is talking about here is not a local church. He's talking about the church of God throughout creation. As we mentioned in Bible study, all from every tongue, from every nation, from every tribe. God has His people spread out all over the place. And all of God's elect are the church. One body. And that body is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and living God. There are no tares in this church, the church that we're talking about. There are no hypocrites in that church. There are no false professors in that church. For everybody that is in this church, this one body that Christ, that the Lord is talking about, everybody that is in this church is in Christ, because He is the head of that church. And there is one head and one body, His church. Do you understand what we're talking about here? The oneness of true believers? We are members of that church in Christ. He is the body, His church is perfect in every way. His body is without stain or spot. It is without blemish or wrinkle. In Colossians 1:18 it says, Christ is the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead in all things, that he might have the preeminence. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, it says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It does not say for them. No, it says for it. As Christ gave himself for it, the church, the called out. That he might present him to himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle. It is the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Like I said a moment ago, there are no tares, there are no hypocrites, there are no false professors in this church. There is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither male nor female, there is neither rich nor poor. There is one church, one body, and one family. We all say, Abba, Father. One Father. Yes. Christ is the head and we are the one. We are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ cannot be divided. Certainly not. Secondly, not only is there one body, but there is one Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to me carefully, for the Bible says, If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are not of his. All of God's church, one Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. We have people who say that they have been saved, but they are seeking the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard that? I'm looking for the Holy Spirit to dwell me. If I go to church this Sunday, maybe the Spirit will fill me. How can you be saved without the Holy Spirit? How can you be saved without the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth? He is the Spirit of Christ. It says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Yeah. Folks, there's just one body. If a person is saved, he is in that family. He is in that body. He is in that church. Well, how did he get there? He was baptized, immersed, and submerged into that body by the Holy Spirit himself. We're not talking about this fiberglass tub that people climb into up here. That's not the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is done in the heart. This is what the Word of God says. It says, No man can call Jesus Lord. We read this in the Bible study this morning, didn't we? No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. There's only one Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit that regenerates us. The Bible says that we are born of the Holy Spirit. We are born of God, born from above, born of the Spirit, and born of the Word. Not only does the Holy Spirit regenerate believers, but He convicts us of our sin. Our Lord says in John 16, when He has come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin. Because they believe not on me of righteousness, because I go unto my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. All of this conviction has to do with Christ, and it is related to Christ. And that's what the Spirit does. The Holy Spirit not only convinces us of sin, but the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. Our Lord says, when He has come, He will take the things of mine and show them to you. He will not speak of Himself, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Holy Spirit leads us to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He shall not speak of Himself, but He shall speak of what He hears. He shall not glorify himself, but he shall glorify Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, our teacher. He will take the things of mine and show them to you, is what God says. All men will be taught of God. That's what the Spirit is doing. Revealing the things of Christ from His Word to our hearts. Applying them to our hearts. The Holy Spirit seals us. He is our earnest, our pledge, as the Word says. That is what Paul says in Ephesians. He is not the spirit of confusion. No, that's a different spirit. That's the one who's divided all those religions up. That's the ones who have convinced men that they need to pray to some man at the Vatican over in Italy. Or others to pray to this, or others to come down to the front of the aisle and exercise their free will, making a decision. Or others to actually get into the pool, this fiberglass tub, and pretend that they're saved from that. That's the spirit of confusion. The Spirit of God teaches us that Christ has done all that.
Yes.
And fulfilled all that. We rest in Him and Him alone. They come and they preach another spirit that attracts attention to their false gospels. A spirit that lauds and exalts the righteousness of the flesh. The Holy Spirit exalts Christ and He glorifies Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ and He honors Christ. There is no confusion, there is no division. He is the Spirit of truth. And believers are one because they are in the body. They are in the one body of Christ. They are indwelt by one Spirit. Thirdly, there is one hope of your calling. You see, salvation is a calling to Christ. It's called the holy calling. Salvation is being called by that holy calling, the called of Christ Jesus. God is calling out a people for His name. Paul says it this way. He says, He called you by our gospel. And then he says this, do you see your calling, brethren?
Yes.
Salvation is a calling. And here he says, one hope of your calling. There is one hope of that calling, and that which you are a participant, a recipient of. Well, what is that hope? In 1 John, we see this in verses 2 through 3. Beloved, right now are we sons of God. Right now. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, in other words, when Jesus Christ shall return, we shall be like Him. What a calling it is to know that we shall be like Him. I think it was just mentioned in my prayer, didn't I? Something about, we're not there yet, but the day's coming when we will be like Christ. We will be conformed to the image of God. That's His Word. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself. What hope is it talking about? It's talking about this, the hope to be like Him. Oh, I can't wait until I can shed off this body of sin. Pastor Gene was just mentioning to me the other day, you know, him and Judy are up in a little bit in age. It'll get a little tougher for him to get around. He went out and bought a walker so he can go to shopping with Judy and get around the store a little better. Maybe go down a few aisles with her instead of sitting at the front at the bench because it hurts for him to walk. He goes, John, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for that blessed day.
Yeah.
And it's going to come soon. That's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Where are your treasures this morning? Mine are somewhere above the blue. a hope that I have that the day is coming when I will be like Christ and stand with him in perfection forever and ever and ever, glorifying and worshiping him. If I were going to write a paper on the word hope, the hope of a believer, and the hope of glory, and the hope of eternal life, I would write one word: Christ Jesus is my hope. He is the hope of glory. Those who preach degrees and glory, larger crowns, or dwelling places of others haven't met Christ yet. God's people see this: Christ Jesus is my treasure. You take all the crowns of glory that you want. I've got him. I am his, and he is mine. What more do you need? You need more? Well, then you don't have Christ. Every believer is going to be just like Christ. We will all love the same, be redeemed the same, and we're all going to be just like him. Anyone who aspires to be anything higher than that doesn't know God. Anyone who would be satisfied with anything less than that has a problem. Folks, we're going to be just like him. Fourthly, there is one Lord. This is why we are one. Because we have one Lord. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." We hear the voice of Christ. We hear the voice of the Lord speaking to our hearts. We believe because that Lord, the one who is God Almighty in the flesh, has given us the gift of faith. That gift, the same faith. I love looking at the Old Testament figures and understanding that they had the same faith that we have, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Abraham has the same faith that you and I have. God said such, and it will be. That's what his faith was. God said that he would have a son from whom the seed would come from, and he knew that that would be. He believed God because God gave him the gift of faith, the same gift that you and I have. One faith, one belief in one Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord of God's eternal decree. God made him Lord. That's what Peter said at Pentecost. He said, "God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He is not only Lord by eternal decree, but he is Lord by creation. The word says all things were made by him, through him, and for him. He is also Lord by death. He died that he may be Lord of the dead and of the living. I'm talking about the lost and the saved. There's a day coming, folks. There's a day coming when every knee shall bow. That's God's word. They may not know it now, but neither would you or I if it hadn't been for the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. We'd be right there with them in that very day. There'll be gnashing of teeth. "What do you mean I'll spend eternity in hell? Look at all the things that I've done for you. Look at all the things I think I've done for you in the name." Those were not in his name. Those were for your glory, not mine, is what the Lord will say. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." He is Lord by faith and confession. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Fifthly, believers are one because there is one faith. There is just one faith, one Lord. There is one faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be small faith, there may be great faith, there may be weak faith, there may be strong faith. There may be early faith, there may even be late faith. But there is only one faith. And they have the same author. The same one who writes that faith on our hearts. He, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the author and the finisher of our faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ the same as I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is because the Lord Jesus Christ is writing it on our hearts. We are not the authors of our own faith. Faith didn't spring up in our gardens. Faith is a plant of God. Faith is a gift of God. That's what it says in Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This faith, this one faith, it has the same author, Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of it. It has the same object. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not... shall not see life. All who do not believe on Christ and love Christ and receive Christ and rest in Christ are unsaved. I don't care where you live, what you profess, or how you act, or how you worship, or whatever it is you might think you must do. He that believeth on the Son hath life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall never see life. That's God's word. We have one faith, and he is the author of it. Do you think he would author something that was divisive? When the Lord comes to us and gives us faith, it's faith in him. It's faith in what he has done. It's faith in what he did that day, a little over 2,000 years ago, when he went to that cross willingly and shed his blood for our sins. It's faith that knowing that God Almighty shed his own blood for those sins and that those sins are paid for. We believe that our sins are paid for because it is Christ who wrote that belief in our hearts. The same belief that each and every one of you have if you belong to God. This faith rises out of the same need that we are sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. And this is the faith. This faith has the same foundation. It's the foundation of the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. In the beginning was the Father. The Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. David and Paul both said this. He said, I believe, therefore I have spoken it. Well, what is it that they believed? They believed the Word of God. Abraham believed God. That's what I said a moment ago. Do you believe God? He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What a great thing to believe in. No maybes. No mights. No possibilities. It's for sure. It's going to happen. You can rest in that. You can get rid of all those other things that we've been trying to do to make ourselves worthy to God. And look to Christ. The author and the finisher of our faith. Sixthly, there is one baptism. Many people believe that this baptism that is speaking of here in Scripture, in these verses, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a second work of grace because there is nothing better than Christ. Christ is all and is in all. He that hath the Son hath life, and we are complete in him. You see, we are all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. We are baptized by the Spirit into one body, and that's what a lot of people believe, that this is talking about one baptism. I believe it so also. Because every believer is baptized and immersed into one body, and that body is Christ, and it is baptism by the Holy Spirit. There is another baptism, a water baptism that we go through, and it's revealed in Scriptures and in the Gospel. It is a baptism by immersion, and it is for believers. Our Lord says, "Go ye into all the world and teach all nations and baptize them. Make disciples and baptize them," he says. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth is baptized and shall be saved." So baptism is for believers. You don't get baptized. Excuse me. You don't baptize an unconscious, insensible person. People have called me and asked me, "I'd like to have my child baptized. Can I have it there?" No, we don't do baptism that way. Seriously. I've had them call me. They drive by and they like the looks of the church. And, you know, let's have our baptismal there. No. It is for believers. The eunuch said this, "Here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said this, "If you believe on Christ, you can. Folks, if you don't, then you can't." Baptism follows faith. It is a confession of our faith. It's an identification with Christ. It is a declaration of our death, his burial, and his resurrection. How can you declare something that hasn't taken place if you don't know about it? Baptism is for believers. The very word immersed means that it is a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And then lastly, let's look at this one last thing. There is one baptism, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. He is the Father of all believers, and he is above all. They said, "David, where is your God?" When all the troubles that came upon David, the mockers, those who didn't believe, "Where is your God today?" They said the same thing about 9/11. "Where is your God when all those people were killed in that building?" Our answer is the same as David's was. He is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. This one God is above all. He's above all angels, above all creatures, all men, all events, all actions, all deeds, and all ages. We use the word sovereign. He is a sovereign God. And in all things such as creation, providence, and salvation, he is above all. And he answers to none. Where were we when he created the world? Does God need our advice? None can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" He is through all, Scripture says. That is, by his providence, he accomplishes all things. By him, all things consist. All things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And the reason is just this, because he is working it out for us. Have you ever stopped and tried to understand that when you're going through a trial? How can this cancer be good for me? That's the same as asking God, "Why doest thou?" Folks, I'm telling you, he knows what's good for us. He knows what we need. And the day will come when we will see that all things were for our good. Believers are one. God the Father dwells in us. Unless God is divided, then how can we be divided? Read again with me in closing Ephesians 4, verse 6. One God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We are one in Him. We all worship the same God because He has brought us to this place and purposed us to do it. True believers are one in Christ. Amen. Stand with